Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Sudarshan Chemical Industries Limited Q3 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjesh Jain from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you.
Thanks, Rochelle. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining on Sudarshan Chemical Industries Limited Q3 FY23 results conference call. We have Sudarshan Chemical management on the call, represented by Mr. Rajesh Rathi, Managing Director, Mr. Neelkanth Nathu, Chief Financial Officer. I would like to invite Mr. Neelkanth Nathu to initiate the opening remark, post which we will have a Q&A session. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, ICICI Securities and Mr. Sanjesh Jain for hosting our earnings call. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Sudarshan's Q3 FY23 earnings conference call. Our investor presentation has been uploaded on the stock exchanges for your ready reference. I would like to take you through the financial highlight for this quarter. It was indeed again a very challenging quarter, both on sales as well as the margin front, not only for Sudarshan but the entire industry. On a consolidated basis for the quarter, total income from operations stood at rupees 528 crore as compared to rupees 602 crore for the same period last quarter, last year, lower by 12% year-on-year. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 42 crore as compared to rupees 74 crore in Q3 FY22. EBITDA margin stood at 7.9% as compared to 12.3% over the same period last year. Profit after tax stood at rupees 0.6 crore as compared to rupees 36 crore for the same period last year. Sequentially, revenue remains flat at rupees 528 crore compared to Q2 FY23, and EBITDA is at 42 crore compared to rupees 43 crore of Q2 FY23. On a yearly basis, total income from operations stood at rupees 1,611 crore versus 1,574 crore in the same period last year, a growth of 2%. EBITDA for the period ending 31st December 2022 is at rupees 126 crore versus rupees 189 crore last year. EBITDA margin is at 7.8% YTD versus 12% over the same period last year. PAT is at rupees 12 crore compared to rupees 85 crore for the same period last year. Now, going into the details of our pigment business. For the quarter, income from operations stood at rupees 483 crore as compared to rupees 560 crore for the same period last year, lower by 14% year-on-year. Sequential revenue is slightly higher by 2% compared to Q2 FY23. India sales for the quarter is at rupees 251 crore compared to rupees 306 crore in the same period last year. As in the last year Q3, we saw significant increase in the domestic demand post-COVID wave two. We have continued seeing buying decision deferment by the customer due to volatility in overall prices, which has resulted in lower inventory level at the customer end. Especially the plastic segment has impacted due to volatility in overall prices, which remained till November 2022, and from December 2022 onwards, we are seeing some improvement in the demand. Historically, Q3 is a weaker quarter for coating segment, as we normally witness drop in the demand because of post-festival season. In the current year, coating customers were carrying extra inventory at their end, and this buildup was due to anticipated higher demand during the festival season. However, demand did not pick up as anticipated. We anticipate buoyant Q4 FY23 for the coating segment. Our market share in the coating and the plastic has been well maintained. Export for the quarter is at rupees 232 crore as compared to rupees 254 crore last year Q3, lower by 9%. Geopolitical situation due to Russia-Ukraine war tightening of the monetary policy by majority of the central banks to control inflation, rising interest rates are leading to subdued demand across majority of the regions. Europe has witnessed major demand disruption. Specialty pigment sales stood at Rs. 341 crore as compared to Rs. 375 crore for previous year same quarter, 9% lower year on year. Non-specialty sales for the quarter stood at 143 crore compared to 185 crore for the same period last year. Gross margin for the quarter stood at 40% as compared to 41.6% for the same period last year. Sequentially, it shows improvement over Q2 FY23 where gross margin was at 38.8%. We are seeing softening of the RM prices and relatively stable RM price environment due to lower demand and drop in basic cost drivers such as crude oil, benzene, toluene. This should help us in sustaining the current gross margin levels. We expect to see improvement in the margin as our high cost inventory reduces. However, margins are subject to overall demand and the pricing pressures. Apart from the raw material costs, we continue to see the energy cost at an elevated level during major part of Q3. We are seeing some early sign of coal prices easing, which should benefit the manufacturing costs in the coming quarters. Logistic costs are coming off from the peak level seen earlier, and we expect this trend to continue. EBITDA for the quarter stood at Rs. 38 crore as compared to Rs. 77 crore in Q3 FY22. EBITDA margin is at 7.8 compared to 13.7 over the same period last year. Sequentially, EBITDA is flat at 38 crore compared to 39 crore of Q2 FY23. Given the difficult external environment, management is aggressively focusing on the cost reduction initiatives. We will have to continue with the pricing decisions with a calibrated approach to balance on the volume growth. Now coming to the CapEx project, which is our thrust for future growth. We are in the growth phase to implement overall CapEx of 750 crore, out of which we have put to use asset worth rupees 620 crore till now. Balance 130 crore projects are part of the CWIP now. These projects are at advanced stage of completion and we expect this to get commercialized by end of FY23. About 85% of our CAPEX has been put to use and started generating some revenue. For new product CAPEX, we are getting good responses from the customer and these products are at advanced stage of evaluation. However, due to demand contraction, the revenue ramp-up is getting delayed. In the midterm, the management remains confident to accrue the benefit as these are the specialty products and should generate good demand and product line remains very attractive. We are glad to inform you that on account of securing the requisite permission from government authorities, the land owned by the company at 162 Wellesley Road has now become marketable. Hence, the board of directors at its meeting held on Thursday, 9th February 23, has accorded its in-principle approval for sale of freehold, clear and marketable title land and measuring approximately 5.76 acres along with the structure standing thereon. The proposed sale shall be subject to the necessary due diligence, approval, consent, permissions from the concerned authorities as may be necessary. We look forward to continuing our growth journey and delivering value to all our stakeholders. With this, we now open the floor for question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question at this time may enter star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset while asking a question. This is required to ensure optimum audio quality on the call. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Ankur Periwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. First question on the revenue recovery, both in the domestic as well as in the export side. So not from a quarter perspective, but let's say 9 months, how has been the demand destruction in the international and in domestic market, and maybe if international, you can cut it out into Europe and non-Europe.
Hi, I'm Gurneel Khan here. So, on the demand side, if I see the YTD numbers between India and export, in the India market, we have seen the softening of the demand in the plastic and the coating segment. As we mentioned, in the plastic segment, major part of the quarter, it was the polymer availability and the variability, prices variability was the issue. So we had seen the demand disruption in the Indian market. On the export side, we had seen the softening of the demand and the demand disruption rather in Europe due to the geopolitical pressure, which is continuing. China was also soft during this period with their zero COVID policy, wherein we saw the demand in China was lesser demand in China was lesser. Also, one factor which has also impacted on the front of China is the anti-dumping. China has imposed anti-dumping on thalocyanine pigment, so which is also impacting the overall demand. So this is YTD in 9 months overall overview.
Sure, Natalji. If you can, maybe quantify a bit, what could be the absolute, maybe directionally, a 5% demand destruction, 10%, maybe international could be slightly higher. That will be helpful. And in the domestic specifically, how is the channel inventory? Is it still elevated or maybe the refill will probably start this quarter itself? Hello.
Yeah, Ankur. So while directionally I can tell you, while not quoting the percentage, India has been subdued, but compared to India, we have seen the export market has been more sluggish, and the demand in Europe has been more disrupted due to the geopolitical pressure. And regarding the inventory at the channel end, how the inventory getting filled up. So as we have experienced till now, since there has been a lot of variability in the prices and the market is expecting the price reduction based on the raw material prices getting stabilized, overall inflationary situations are coming under control. So what we have seen is also buying decision deferment at the customer end, which is also impacting overall inventory, built up at the customer end and in the channel. So this is the current position on the inventory side.
Sure, sir. And just lastly, on the gross margin front, will it be fair to assume that all the RM hike that was supposed to get passed through is already done, or there is still some pending benefit which can accrue over the next quarter or so?
So, Ankur, while we mentioned that RM prices are getting stabilized and we see more of a normalized RM, environment, not as compared to the pre-COVID area, but we see more of a stability coming in RM. However, if you really see the current quarter, our gross margin is at 40% compared to 38.8% in the Q2. So it shows the positive sign that RM by a percent increase is a positive. Two things to look at it. One is how this RM inventory impact will come in our P&L, because we also have the inventory. So it will have to get average out over a period once the demand pick up and our new purchases of RM inventory goes up. Second factor to watch out for is the overall demand. If the demand picks up, then the margin will definitely be higher. But if the demand remains subdued, then we have to take the call between the volume and the pricing.
Sure. Fair enough, sir. That's it from my side. I'll get back into the queue. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Arthur from ICICI Prudential AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good morning. Just two questions. One on the land parcel point which you mentioned, what according to you would be your fair assessment at this point in terms of the value of the land?
So, This is Rajesh Rathi. I think, you know, it's too early in the process. We've not started the process because this has been approved by the board yesterday itself. So, currently it's very, it will be very premature to state any value or timeline on the process.
Okay. Okay. And secondly, sir, like your financials, say for 9 months, in the OCI it shows a loss of about 18 crores. How should one see that part on a 9 month basis in the P&L?
Can you repeat after your question, please?
Look, in the other comprehensive income for the 9 month basis cumulatively, there is a loss of about 18 crores. I think maybe pertaining to Forex or something. If you can just further explain that part, please.
Yeah, so thanks for this. So, Atul, we, as you know, we had taken the ECB foreign currency loan for our CAPEX, you know, phase one and phase two. As a part of this ECB, we follow the hedging strategy as per our risk management policy and hedge accounting. Now, this particular OCI increase is nothing but the reflection of the dollar rupee movement, which has been there from 76 to 82 rupees over this 9 month period, wherein the loan reinstatement will happen and it will be there in the OCI. We monitor our ECB performance based on XIRR basis. So while rupee has depreciated by 10%, our XIRR has not moved that much. So we are within the range and we are actively monitoring because there has been also the reduction in the forward premium. So this OCI is on account of the increase in the spot exchange rate. This is also one of the reasons why it is there in our foreign exchange loss for the quarter, because we had started repaying this foreign currency loan, and on the loan repayment, this particular exchange loss will come to the P&L. However, we need to look at it from the perspective of the interest cost, because it is nothing but the add-on to the interest cost.
Sure.
And on the
land.
Sorry.
So one follow up on the land part, that eventually used to deliver, right?
Can you please repeat the question? There was some
no, so just on the land question earlier, that eventually the proceeds will be used to deliver the balance sheet, right?
Yes, I think that'll be one of the uses, but I think the board would kind of, you know, once there is a definite proposal, the board would look at the use of funds. You know, the intention is also to look at that. So,
thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Chetan Thakkar from ASK Investment Managers Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good morning, sir. So I had just two questions. One was you've been highlighting that you're internally working on cost initiatives. So just wanted to get a sense on eventually the cost initiatives that you're undertaking, how much should we build in terms of margin improvement that these initiatives should add? And second is on working capital, which has increased. What are the steps that we are taking and where would this number eventually stabilize at?
So the first question on the cost front, so as a management, we are taking a lot of action, you know, looking at all the cost levers, whether it is the manufacturing, whether it is the employee cost and the fixed cost. And, you know, the efforts are there to take out the inefficiencies in the cost structure and make it the lean to the extent possible. And given the current scenario wherein we have seen the subdued demand, we could able to, you know, maintain the EBITDA at around 38 crore despite the forex loss of around 10 crore in the quarter is also on account of the cost reduction initiatives which we had taken. We expect that these initiatives will continue in the coming quarters and there is a continued focus in bringing the efficiency. In terms of the working capital, if you really see the net working capital cycle or cash conversion cycle compared to the Q2 has gone up by 4 days from 108 to 112 days. This is predominantly because of the build-up in the inventory at the subsidiary end, which is RICO, wherein they got the large value orders for which they are stocking up the material for the deliveries which are planned in Q4. As Sudarshan, on the pigment side, we are taking all the actions to reduce the inventory, bringing in the AR liquidation and paying the creditors on time. Currently, we are at around 26% plus as far as the net working capital cycle is concerned. Our aim and endeavor is to bring down to the level of around 24 and then get to the level of around 22 over a period of time.
This number and percentage at Sudarshan pigment level would be what currently, and where do we expect that to settle? Because 26, I assume, would be including RICO.
No, so 26 is including is pigment. 26 and half is including RICO. So what we are expecting, that pigment level of 26 should come down to around 24. That is the first level target, and we would like to bring the net working capital to 22%. To the level of around 90 days cash conversion, maybe in the year's time.
Sure. And so just on the cost takeout, is there a number that you can put at in terms of, compared to our earlier cost structure, what would be an absolute saving that you envisage in the next 2 years? Or that would be a little difficult at this point of time?
So it will be difficult to actually answer this on the call, but see, there are two, three points. One is the cost reduction, which is structural and systematic, which will be there in the system. There are a couple of cost reduction which we are doing in terms of the manufacturing and RMC, wherein based on the market condition, we have to take the call of, you know, passing on. So giving the number on this will be slightly difficult.
Okay. And so you highlighted that despite the Forex, we saw the EBITDA that we saw. So fair to assume that Forex would be a good assessment of, so 9-10 crore is cost takeout that was possible this quarter, or that is also a difficult number to put at?
So, wanting
to understand that what is internally in our control, how much can we at least squeeze out of that, because the environment is the environment and we can't do much about it while trying to optimize that. So.
No, absolutely. So, given the Forex number of 9-10 crore, despite maintaining the EBITDA, one fair assumption will be the cost takeout is around this level.
Sure. Thank you so much, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Madhav Malta from Fidelity International. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good morning. Thank you so much for your time. Just wanted to clarify the Forex loss of 10-11 crores. Is that captured in our other expenses for the quarter, or where does it reflect in the P&L?
Hi, Madhav. So, thanks for your question. The Forex loss of 10 crore is captured in the other expenses.
Okay. So, the Q1Q increase in other expenses largely on account of Forex loss, basically, right?
Yes.
Otherwise, it would have been stable.
Yes. Yes.
Got it. Understood. And so the my second question was that on the plastic side demand, completely understand your point. There was a lot of channel destocking which has happened, as can be seen across the plastics industry in India. But now that some of the prices for, you know, the PVC prices have stabilized, and there is demand seems to be picking up on that side in the country. So would it be fair to assume that you know, this quarter onwards, at least, like you said, coatings should be buoyant. Plastics also should come back this, you know, from Jan onwards, probably?
Yes, Madhav. Thanks for this question, and your assessment is correct. So what we are seeing currently is early sign of revival in the plastic segment. So we expect the plastic and the coating, both the segments should be better compared to the Q3. And the demand revival, as of now, what we can see the numbers, we see the demand revival in the, and especially that is in the India market.
Got it. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Madhav.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Yash Goenka from Auriga Capital Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my questions. I'm new to the business. So can you let me know, I'm trying to understand why a market share has not been increased from 2014. It's been fairly consistent at 35%.
So I think so there are two, three areas. I think one is the as you can see, our share in plastic, the plastic market has grown, and I think we've been our share in the plastic market has been quite stable. On the ink side, we had lost some business due to cost pressures. And that's where I think, you know, gaining, you know, kind of looking at the 30%, 30 to 32% market share, that's where we've been maintaining.
Okay. And so second question would be, company allocates a portion of its commission to a group entity, Rabro Specialty Chemical, in which individuals associated with Sudarshan are also part. So can you provide more information on the reasoning behind this arrangement and the nature of services provided by the entity?
So it's an arm's length transaction on the ordinary course of business, where there is a selling arm which provides all the necessary service to the customers.
Okay, so it is providing a selling service to us.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. That's all.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Anand Venugopal from BMSPL Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. What I want to know is, post your CAPEX, what will your total gross block be? And at full capacity utilization, what type of revenue can the company achieve? And lastly, can we get to 4,000 crore revenue at full capacity utilization?
On the CAPEX side, so as I mentioned, like, this is 750 crore of growth CAPEX which we have put to use. With this, what we are guiding the market, that the revenue will be around 1,500 crore potential revenue from this CAPEX. And this ramp up will be over 3 to 4 years period, as currently we are seeing the demand disruption. That is point one. Second is, your third question was, when we expect it to be 4,000 crore, correct?
Yeah, like, can we get to 4,000 crore revenue full capacity?
So this is current CAPEX, we will be reaching to around 3,500 crore level, and as we guided the market, it will be over 3 to 4 year period of time.
Okay, got it. All good, thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Akul Brochwala from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just, you know, taking forward question on CAPEX. Are we to assume that, you know, most of this CAPEX dedicated to revenue generation is now over, and probably next leg of CAPEX would be more focused towards backward integration? Because I do remember in the past that we have been, you know, emphasizing on improving our backward integration for critical raw materials. So what's the sense that, you know, management overall is taking?
All our revenue CAPEX should be completed by March end. So we'll put to use all our revenue CAPEXs and the infrastructure required for it. We've taken a decision, given the downturn in the business, that we should not, till the business improves, we will not be doing any more CAPEX for some time. And and from that perspective, however, we are looking at still backward integration is an important lever for us. We are looking at alternate methods where we can work with some of the some of our outsource partners, where we can get these raw materials manufactured from. And so though we may not get the full benefit of if we had done the CAPEX, but we would get some, we will get the partial benefit.
Understood. And like, secondly, you know, on this revenue potential, talked about of 1,500 crores. So, you know, like, how far are we, you know, from in terms of pricing? Because right now, considering overall the volatile market environment, as well as the fact that, you know, Europe is under pressure. So, Are you anticipating any further challenges in terms of achieving such such kind of asset turnover, or do you still remain confident in terms of achieving such kind of asset turns as well as return ratios on this CapEx?
Sir, I think, so just to understand the thesis of our expansion, we were looking to, change our product portfolio, right? Move towards more high-performance pigments, move towards more specialty pigments, etc., right? So from that perspective, that was the whole thesis for our thesis for the growth. So, from a long-term perspective, though there's a short-term issue in demand or this, these are some short-term issues. Our long-term strategy remains the same. The only thing which may happen, our initial estimate was that this growth we could have achieved in 3 years. This may take maybe four years or 5 years if this trend continues.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next question is from the line of Varship Shah from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking the question. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Mr. Shah, if you're on a speakerphone, could you please use your handset so that we can hear you clearly?
Yeah, this is better. Am I audible now?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
So could you just please explain Forex loss that you made in the remarks, and is this expected to reverse going forward?
Hi, so Nilkant here. So this Forex loss, what we have mentioned, is predominantly on the capital account due to the ECBs which we have drawn down for our CapEx group. We follow the hedge accounting policy and we have a robust Forex risk management policy in place. What we monitor for this ECBs is the XIRR, and currently, given the depreciation in the rupee, also our XIRR is maintained because we got also the benefit of the forward premium. While this quarter we had seen the exchange loss on a higher side because there were the repayments, and during the quarter rupee depreciated sharply. Going forward, if the rupee is at the same level, I expect the exchange loss will be slightly lower, but it will not get reversed. The reason why this exchange loss is there in the P&L now is due to the loan repayment which has started on ECB. So ideally, one should look at it as a part of the interest cost, because interest cost overseas is subdued to 2.5%. With this, it will be still be lesser than the Indian interest cost, domestic rate of interest.
Okay. And could you give a breakup of the debt into long-term and short-term?
Sorry, I didn't get your question. Long-term and short-term meaning?
The total debt, how much is working capital debt and how much is sale from loans?
Okay. So total debt, including the group RICO, is around 946 crore. And the long-term debt is around, it is around 650 crore.
All right, sir. Thank you for taking my question.
Thank you very much. Our next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So first question is on the RICO or engineering business. We have seen in the last few quarters this business has been reviving. So any plans of further, taking some steps to revive this business? Thank you.
Hi, Rohit. Nilkant here. So, as you mentioned, we as a management had taken various initiatives to revive this business, and RICO business over the past 2-3 years has turned around. Last year was slightly bad due to the inflationary pressure, but this year, overall performance of the RICO compared to the last year is in positive territory.
The Rico management is focused and Sudarshan management is also, you know, anchoring this entire business and the revival. Currently, the order book is very healthy for the Rico and we expect the Rico business to be better in the next year.
Thanks. The second question is on the plastic side. So in the last 6-7 months, we have seen the imports, plastic imports have gone up substantially. So when the plastics are imported, does it have an impact on our business? Because, you know, whether it is coming as a pigmented plastic or it's a virgin plastic, so does it have, you know, overall impact in terms of our business? Thank you.
I think the imports of plastic really does not have an impact on our overall business. I think a few trends to watch in the plastic industry is the one-time usage, which has some impact, though not a major impact for Sudarshan because for the low-end markets.
Right. And just one last clarification. In terms of EBITDA margins, you know, before pandemic, we used to clock close to about 14 to 15% EBITDA margins. The demand stabilizes and revives both in domestic and international market, when is a possibility to achieve those margins? So will it be like 3 years hence where till we go in for optimum utilization, or probably it will happen in the next 1 to 2 years? Thank you.
It's very difficult to predict, sir, as to when the demand would normalize. So I think we were hit. If you look at our EBITDA margin, we were hit on two accounts, sir. One was the volume shrinkages and the extreme inflationary environment, which caused the margins to reduce. And what happened is with the volume reduction also had an impact on margins because all competitors were trying to, you know, work on the same pie, right? So it was fierce competition. So as soon as this, kind of reverses out and all our cost reduction efforts, we should be able to see a better performance. Very difficult to predict when this could happen, sir.
Yeah, thanks. Just one last
thing to add here is directionally, as Mr. Rathi said, that with the current scenario, it is difficult. But once the demand, gets revived, directionally, the EBITDA margin should go up because we then should see the operating leverage playing up. But I would not like to put the number that by when we can see, because we used to operate earlier at 15% EBITDA margin. So at what point of time we will reach there, would not like to put a time frame. But in the coming years, directionally, we should be moving towards.
Right. Just one last bookkeeping question. So the capex incurred of 620 crores, does it reflect in the depreciation for this particular quarter, the entire capex?
So whatever has been put to you till now is reflected in the depreciation cost.
Sure. Thank you so much and best of luck, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Archit Joshi from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Just two questions. One on raw materials. I think previously you commented about some mitigation that we are trying to do in terms of our sourcing basis. In the past also, we have, you know, kind of tried to allude to how our dependence on China with respect to raw materials is, and certain raw materials cannot be indigenously manufactured in the backward integration that we have been talking about. So on the same front, how exposed are we to China at this point in time, and to what extent can we diversify our sourcing through different other supply chains? And number two is, what would be the peak debt, given that we are almost at 1,500-1,600 crore of long and short term borrowing, where would it peak in the midterm?
Thanks, Arjit. So, in terms of our dependence on the China, currently the China import is at 30%, And there has been a lot of initiatives which has also been taken for the diversification of the supply base. As far as the backward integration project, what we had already said earlier, currently we would like to get our current capex base getting stabilized, generating the revenue and the cash flows, and then the backward integration and the reduction of the raw material cost initiatives, we will take it forward. On the debt side, debt is not at around 1500 crore, debt is 946 crore as of December end. And I expect this should be a peak level. And year end number, I would expect it in the range of around 860 to 880 crore.
Sure, sir. So just one follow up here. Could you throw some light on our debt repayment schedule in the next 2 years? How are we planning to reduce it?
So, given the current ECBs which have been drawn down and the moratorium period, our debt repayments will be in the range of 150 to 160 crore.
Now,
Yes, sir. This is annually, right?
This is annual.
Got it, sir. Got it. So, just one thing on the first question that I asked with respect to how well we can mitigate this raw material dependency. So, right now, as you said, 30% of our RM is coming from China. To what extent can we better it? Any color?
So, what we've done as a first case scenario, we do have alternate sources in other parts of the world for China. So we are not totally dependent. There are a few raw materials which we are still dependent. So we do take a business and commercial call if things come to, if there are issues with that, we do have alternate sources. And once our backward integration also takes off, that will also help us with some of this dependence.
Sure, sir. Thanks a lot for the clarification and all the best.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a question from the line of Mr. Sanjesh Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for taking my question. I got a few of them. First, on the India coating side, we have seen that there is a lot many new entrants coming in. Do you think as an opportunity here to increase our market share in the Indian coating pigment business? That's number one.
Yeah. So I think, sir, of course, with the new entrants and our strong product range, we should be, we are already looking at the technical development with them so that we can partner with them to kind of deliver value to them. So as soon as they start commercializing and manufacturing, we would get that benefit.
Okay, so it is fair to assume that over the next 2 to 3 years, we will have India business growing slightly faster because of the tailwind on the India coating business side, right?
Yes, so assuming that the coating pie does grow, right, that, it should not happen that, if the coating pie does grow, yes, definitely.
I think the commentary from the coating guy is that they still look at 10 to 14% of a volume growth.
Yes.
We should proportionately grow, right? Or is there an opportunity because the better kind of coating are going up? So it should be higher than that for us. How should one see that?
I think we should grow with that, right? The growth. We should grow with that volume.
Got it. Second, on this yellow pigment, where are we in terms of commercial supply? I understand the demand side of the challenge, but have we started supplying it on a commercial scale or it is still on the approval? Where are we in the journey for the yellow pigment?
So we have several approvals and commercial supplies have begun the last 6 months.
So we have already started doing commercial supplies on the yellow?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So, X of LO, then it looks like we are seeing a lot more challenge. It's that the new products are helping. Is that the right way to look at?
Could you repeat your question, please? Repeat your question.
So my question was that X of these new products underlying the decline in the business is higher. I'm just looking at can we grow or bounce back much higher because the base has the base business except the new product has fallen more sharply. So the recovery will also be sharp when you see plastics coming back and probably coating coming out of the inventory cycle. Is it fair to assume that next 2-3 quarter we have a tailwind from the industry coming back, reinventorization happening? Are we seeing any such signs in terms of the demand side of the business?
So obviously our business, you know, when we're talking about the India market, the India market is only 50% of our total value, right? It also depends on how the international markets pick up. And that's where I think that would be, so both areas would have to pick up, so for that to happen.
Got it. I got some specific question on the export market. So one, China opening up now, is it a positive development for us or will it increase the competition? How should we see China opening up having an implication on Sudarshan on the pigment side of export business?
So with China opening up, so what had happened earlier, the China market, because of zero COVID policy, there was pigment production on, but the consumption in the China market had reduced. That's how there was more products being, you know, so there was more fierce competition in the export market. So with China opening up, definitely it helps in the sense of the Chinese producer more selling into China, right? That's one question. The second is, of course, we have business in China and that will help our cause. But there's a headwind where there is an anti-dumping duty on Indian blue and green pigments into China. So that would be that business, you know, we've lost some business there as an industry and Sudarshan too.
But we don't make thylos, right? We just make value added out of thylos. It does categorize within the thylos for us?
No, we make thylosan and pigments, sir, completely.
Acha, we make them as well. Okay.
Yes.
Fine. And then now in terms of the geographical footprint in the global market, we have predominantly been very strong in Europe, but US has been relatively smaller for us. But considering that Europe is facing its own challenge, do we anticipate to increase effort in the other global geographies to recoup some of these volumes?
Our effort is, of course, we want to grow not only in the U.S. market, but the South American markets also provides a great promise. So our focus is on those markets too.
Got it. Last question on the debt and debt side of it. Considering these near-term challenges, you don't see any risk to the covenants in terms of the debt we hold, it's close to 1,000 crores.
So, Sanjay, with the current situation and the current debt level, we don't foresee any challenge in terms of the repayment and the interest servicing. And as far as the covenant also, we as of now don't feel. We will be able to apply.
Right. Got it. Yeah. Those are the questions from my side. Thank you very much and best of luck for the coming quarters.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Anant Venugopal from BMSPL Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, excuse my ignorance, but if I may know, why has your promoter holding reduced over the last few years?
Promoters had decided to pursue their own entrepreneur ventures, and for that, their entrepreneur venture certain hurdle, and that's how they, you know, that's what they diluted to pursue their entrepreneur ventures.
In pigments that China has imposed, and what's the end goal here, you think? Like, is this a temporary duty or you see it to be there for a while?
You'll have to repeat your question. It wasn't clear.
Yeah, what is the duty on green pigments that China has imposed? And what's the end goal here, you think? Like, is this a temporary duty or you see it to be there for a while?
No, I think it's an anti-dumping duty, and you know, though we as an industry are fighting it together from India side, unfortunately, it didn't work in our favor. So this duty would be there for some time.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, you may enter star and one at this time. Participants who would like to ask a question may enter star one now. We have a follow-up question from the line of Madhav Malda from Fidelity International. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so I just wanted to kind of, whatever we've discussed on the call, is it fair to assume that domestic market demand should pick up from here? Exports, you know, depends on the macros there. It's not in our control. And on the cost side, freight costs, you know, should have already been easing. Coal prices are also coming down, and RM is also kind of stabilized. We're seeing some declining trend. So is that a right assessment across the various operational parameters of the business?
Madhav, Nilkanth here. So it is a right assessment. India, we see early sign of revival in the demand. Export market is slightly subdued. It depends on a lot of geopolitical pressure and you know, the demand disruption. In terms of the cost, structurally we are seeing the RM prices getting stabilized, the coal prices slightly coming off the peak, but not to the level what we had seen pre-COVID. But yes, compared to the last year, we see some early sign of reduction in the prices. And freight cost also, one was earlier the availability, so there is no availability as a container availability as a challenge. And the cost are also coming off the peak levels which we had seen post-COVID. Not to the level which we had seen earlier, but yes, compared to the last year, those are coming off.
That's right. And so just on the CapEx side, like Mr. Rajesh also mentioned that we expect to now, you know, now that we've done our revenue generating CapEx, etc. So what could be the CapEx expectation for FY24?
So, Maro, FY24, we don't expect major CapEx to happen. It may be only the maintenance CapEx. Current goal is we will be completing majority of this CapEx by this year end. So, except growth CapEx, I don't expect any further CapEx to come in the next year.
And how much is the trend rate for us? Maintenance CapEx for us broadly, how much is it?
Maintenance CapEx will be in the range of around 40 crores.
40 crores. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rohit Ohri from Progressive. From Rohit Ohri from Progressive Shares. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. One question which is related to the strategy which we had in the past. So we were trying to pare away from the non-core businesses, and IMSD was one of that. So the other non-core business was Rico. And would you like to share some more details on that, if you would like to divest away from Rico, because since the system is seeing that it is turning around. So any thoughts on that? Would you like to share something on that?
Yes, sir. So I think so the board has been actively seeing how do we build the business back and some of the capabilities. And at the appropriate time, the Rico board would evaluate what should be, you know, what should be the further course of action. No such decision has been made so far, but I'm sure the board would board is closely looking at this, whether we can really grow this business and whether we should be divesting.
Okay, so that was the only question. Thank you, Rajeshji. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. When we had peak revenues of about 3,500 crores, will the mix of exports change, and similarly, whether the mix for specialty, non-specialty would also undergo a change? Thank you.
Hi, Rohit. Nikhil here. So, Yes, your assessment is correct. Once we get the full benefit of this capex and the revenue, ramp up, the tilt between the domestic and export will move slightly on the export side, and between specialty and non-specialty, it will be more on the specialty side.
Mr. Nagraj, I'm sorry, but there's some disturbance from your line. Could you switch to your handset, please?
Yeah, my question is over. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we take that as the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Sanjeev, Jain, and thank you, participants, for your time and interest in Sudarshan Chemicals. We remain confident in the long-term prospect of our business, and we look forward to engaging with you again in future. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.
Thank you.